This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing great. I mean, Tom, this has been your week, though. This has been very exciting stuff for you.
Big stuff. Big stuff. I was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, which you guys can watch. I'm doing it. Hey, perfect time for plugs real fast. I'm doing an hour special at The Mint in Los Angeles, California, so come out there. That's 1026. If you want to come, it's free. You just have to go to the link in my Instagram bio. It's TBLUS.
Tuberculosis.
That's right. Yep. That's what all the proceeds will be going to cause tuberculosis. A lot of people are against it. Why not somebody for it?
Come on.
Somebody's got to be on the other side. TBLUS.com/unprotected sets. I feel ridiculous saying that. It is going to be fun. I've heard these like look really cool and stuff. So come to that. And then me and Tommy will be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati this very weekend,
very
if you're listening. And and you know what's even more exciting than that? We have fucking Josh Adam Myers on the podcast today, huh?
Dude, something so funny is on the way here, I was talking to Ryan Sickler, and he just said he had just interviewed you.
Yes.
And he started going about, and he started going through what your history is with your both sides of your family.
Yeah,
I was like, you need to get him on the honeydew immediately,
Shit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be on the honeydew soon.
That would be sick. We're going to talk for like an hour when I get to LA, because he did a pre-interview, and he was like, whoa, this is already a lot. Like, believe me, brother. I know it.
It's great, dude. And you're going to have a blast in LA, man. The Mint is a fucking dope location.
I've been hearing that. I'm excited. And I ran it last night. I ran the hour at the Comedy Cellar. Thanks to anybody who came to that. It was fucking awesome. I was very happy. Tim McLaughlin blew it opening for me.
He blew it?
No, he actually killed, but it was really funny. He got a huge applause on this line that should have been his closer, and then he did one more thing.
And then he blew it. Yeah, dude,
nothing.
We always cream too early, dude. Always, man. But they're so good.
Yep.
They're so good. Oh, and then you're just like skadoodle and nothing.
So let's give Josh a little bit of background here. You're a very musical man.
Yeah.
You talk about a lot about it in your stand-up. It's very fun to see. And you host the show The Goddamn Comedy Jam, which is just a great fucking time. I got to see it live at Moon Tower. It's just one of the best times you'll have at a live show.
Well, you know what's funny, and that's why I was so excited about this, doing this podcast, is music is this beautiful thing that like people just like you can judge it, but for the most part it's enjoyed. So regardless of how shitty the band is, if the song sounds good, people are like Gangnam Style. We could get behind Gangnam Style because it's just fun. And Who Let the Dogs Out? And then, you know, Creed, like I had brought up about Creed. I was like, when you really get past the douchiness that Scott did in the early 2000s when he was drinking, then you're like, the music's not that bad.
Yes.
It's actually quite good. Nickelback, we did Nickelback. Big Jay Oakerson sang that at the Jam at the Cellar.
How You Remind Me, or was it?
Of course.
A
photograph?
The fuck's he gonna do? Look at this photograph!
He could have done Rockstar. Rockstar is also good.
Is that the one where it's like, I got your pants behind your legs. I got your legs behind your ears.
That's the one where he's like, I'll take a quesadilla.
That's a real line? Okay, they are kind of douchey. But they're formulaic pop.
Yes.
That's what they are. Mm-hmm. And from that, it's like, okay, you can't get mad at them. The song sounds good. Every song kind of sounds the same, but there's something to appreciate about any band for the most part, even in the ones that are like makeshift, like O-Town. Like you can still say, you can still say, well, I mean, yeah, it's cheesy. Or LM, yeah. What's the one? Not LMFAO, the other one.
LFO.
LFO. Summer Girls. Summer Girls was so bad, it was great.
Two out of the three.
It's like watching Malignant.
Two out of three.
Two out of the three people from LFO are dead. I just found that out this weekend. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit.
Not fun facts, but I just found that out.
Summer Girls are bad for you.
Jesus Christ. Is it drugs? It has to be drugs. Suicide?
No, I we were playing that song during my softball game. One guy leans over me and goes, two out of the three are dead.
What a weird fact to give somebody in the batting cage. Yeah, it's like you're warming up. And they're like, you know, measles, mumps, and rubella is making a comeback. Like, what?
This is what you're talking about is exactly the nature of this podcast.
Yes.
It's exactly what we're doing here. Is that, yeah, there's room for anything to be
and
good.
Also, it's like at the end of the day, the bands that truly suck, we would have never heard of because they wouldn't have been on the, like, it's like my band from high school actually sucked, but you would never hear about them
because
on a podcast because we never did
anything. That's what you think. We're doing them next week.
Well, you know what's, and that's funny that you said that, Tom. And by the way, I love that you're both Tom and Tom.
Yep.
I just, that is beautiful.
We thought it would be better for the podcast.
I had a Frank and then I was like, no. The key, this is I was in bands and I know how hard it is when you have three other guys. And if one out of those four members of the band isn't fully into it, and they're a big part, they could be the songwriter or whatever it was, the guy that I worked with. It's just you can only go as far as committed as you are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've seen shitty bands. Dude, look at Good Charlotte. Good Charlotte's from my area.
Oh, shit.
I dated one of the brothers' ex-girlfriends right after him and right as they were like blowing up.
Holy
like just
shit.
they were just big in DC and I was like, fuck this band and their music's butt cheeks but like you can't deny that the chorus from Lifestyles and the Rich and Famous is
so
a catchy song. And
I mean the anthem, we've talked about it before because in Madden, I think it was 2003, the anthem was a big part of that soundtrack, and I loved it. It was always fun. Shake it three times. You're playing with yourself.
Gang, 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 gang. And you're just like, no, you're going to use the fucking 49ers again? No, dude. Well, that's a huge thing too to get you into music is like the music in video games. Mm-hmm. Like Tony Hawk Pro Skater had some of the best fucking punk rock songs, and I'm also very like anti like pop punk. It's just something that I've never been able to really grasp, and Blink 182 is a band that I'm just like, no, I get it, but it's just not for me. And then the music that I cannot get behind, which I talk about this now on stage, the hardest joke I have been trying to figure out over the last 6 months, and I feel like I'm finally getting it, is why I don't think white people should make reggae music.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, it's going to be a closer when this shit's done.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's so...
You got to talk to Kyle Kinane. He's in town right now.
I just saw him
last night, and he defended reggae covers of pop songs.
It was a lot
songs.
Of fun,
And I feel like there was a lot of white reggae on that, but maybe I'm misremembering. Mm-hmm. But,
specifically 311.
Sure.
And Sublime. I do not get Sublime. I think they are horrible. I'm glad that the original member, I wish they would have broken up and he didn't die.
Right.
But, you know, no new music from them is good music. I hate them. It's because of the kids I grew up with, man. They just listened to 311 and Sublime so much that I was getting into bands like Pink Floyd and I was getting into Radiohead and Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, iconic bands that have tested, that have lasted the test of time and will be listened to forever and ever and ever. But Sublime is a band that I'm like, it's just Orange County crap, man. Like, fuck this band. 311.
Don't like Lou Dog?
Oh,
yeah, we got Lou Dog.
It's all bad. It's
Tommy,
all.
Tommy doesn't like any dogs, so he hates Lou Dog.
Fuck
but he does
all,
practice
dude.
Santeria.
That's true.
It's terrible, dude. It is. When this joke is done, this will be my like. You know, my fucking Gaffigan Hot Pockets.
Hell yeah.
This is
you heard it here, people.
Yeah, dude.
You heard it here.
What do you think about UB40?
They're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. The police is fine.
Okay.
But the police is, it's different, man. There's something intelligent about their music. UB40 is, you know, they had some black members.
Right.
It's also the 80s. I'm talking more about the awakening of white reggae.
Yes.
It came out like the Kraken in fucking in like the late 90s, mid 90s, and then it just became like Rebulation, Tribal Seeds. There was a band in DC that did a lot of reggae covers called Jawworks, which we got to go see Jawworks. And I was like, fuck this band. They suck. Like, why doesn't anybody see this? Go see Mr. Green Jeans. Mr. Green Jeans is way better. They're doing the cool covers, dude.
And I never heard of Mr. Green Jeans, of course, but I like that.
I love Mr. Green.
I like the name Mr. Green
Jeans. Didn't you have like your local town's like cover band? Like, there was one in Jersey that I saw called Big Orange Cone, and they were so bad, but I was like, I fucking love these guys.
We had, what were they called? Dot, Dot, Dot.
Nice.
They did it, and they would play the Bluebird a lot. And there was a 80s hair metal. I think it might have just been called 80s hair metal or something like that. And they would do 80s covers. And they were big. And Dot 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 had, like, I remember having a Dot 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 shirt, and I was like, why do I have, they're a cover band. I don't give a shit about this.
Because you probably went to a show, got drunk, met a girl, fingered her that night, and you were like, fucking Dot 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 rules. It's like, dude, I didn't like, you know, ketamine, but I did it a lot because the first time I did it, I had the best time. I met a girl. It was a magical night. And then every time after that, I was chasing
the
dragon.
You got the ketamine shirt?
I do.
Dude, it's all we're doing in life is chasing the dragon.
I do have to make a correction just so it doesn't get out. I don't finger women. I'm like the DJ Khaled, but with fingering, it's like, I just don't do that.
Really?
They ask, and I'm like, sorry, I just don't do that.
I'll scissor you. I'll dry hump you. But no fingers.
Oh, do all God. That.
Wait, we got to talk about, because you brought this up right before we started recording, and they've already come up. We have to talk about Creed with you.
Sure.
Yes.
Because you mentioned that you've met Scott Stapp.
Not met. I'm friends with him.
Which is blowing our minds.
All right, so the evolution is two things. The first time, Creed was a band that just kind of, I remember my friend Maury Rollins. I give full names, by the way. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. Yeah. But Maury really liked that big record from them, the one they blew up. I remember I did like My Own Prison, too. You know, the one that's like, excuse me. And I say, oh, na, 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 na. It was great. Mm-hmm. Yes, he sounds like in that monoslavic, like deep chest register voice where he's sounding like Scott Weiland and Eddie Vedder. And they all kind of did to a point. Mm-hmm. So I didn't just write it off. And then Higher came out and I understood the hate right away. And then he starts doing all that stuff as he's drinking and his life is kind of falling apart and the band is falling apart. And then he became the joke. And I hate when people just make fun of a band just because they're making fun of him. Because like we said, I don't know if we did it on air or off, but Nickelback has things that you can appreciate. Mm-hmm. And Creed the same way. And there's a couple songs of them that I really love. I love With Arms Wide Open. Yeah. I think it's a great song.
Mm-hmm. One Last Breath, great song.
One Last Breath. Dude, if you go through their, and I hate to mention Dark Lord Spotify, but that's still the app that I have. Yeah. If you go through Dark Lord Spotify's top tracks on the Creed page, everything is great. It's all great. So cut to, I'm at a 12-step meeting a few years ago, and he's there.
Wow.
He looks great. He's wearing this teal, like, Charlotte Hornets colored shirt. And I'm like, when we do the Serenity Prayer, I have to hold his hand. I don't care what I have to do, but I'm going to touch his hand.
Put your arms wide open.
And I'm on the other side. Yeah. And I'm on the other side of the room. So I'm like, you know, and you all close your eyes. They do the thing. We say that they do the, whatever the step is. They do the prayer. Then you close your eyes. And the whole time I'm closing my eyes, I'm like peeking. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to fucking cut through that lady, jump over that chair, and I'll grab his hand. And then they go. And then somebody does the, which is like, that's the sign to get up.
Yeah.
And I just fucking booked. I literally pushed this like 80-year-old Mexican woman out of the way. And I'm like, get over here. Wait. You know, then I'm like, and I start saying it as I'm like cutting somebody off. I'm like, God, grant me this. And I grab his hand, and I swear to God, like 45 bracelets just go click, 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 click. And I'm just like, I swear to God, at that moment, I was fully hard.
And so
there's that.
Yeah.
So that ends there. So then I have the goddamn Comedy Jam series on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. And the one good real moment of that show that where Comedy Central didn't completely fuck the show up. Because they did. Because that's all what networks do. And that's why they gave me the rights back immediately, because they were like, we dropped the ball on this.
Oh, that's cool of them.
They were like, wow, you can have it. Do whatever the fuck you want with it. We're not going to take any money.
That with my Comedy Central podcast.
Be nice. Dude. Dude, I mean, it wasn't mine to begin with.
Also, but they, I mean, because, but I also fought with them and was literally like, I sat down with Kent Alterman and Gary Mann and I said, guys, this is the show. If you do it, any, the reason it works is because of me and this and that. Right. If we cut that out, it's gonna fail. Yeah. And I was like, they were like, well, either we do it this way or you don't have a show.
Right.
And I said, how much are you paying me? And I said, all right, I can afford a dog and a new vacuum and I can live.
Scare the dog. Right. Yeah.
So
you got to keep the dog in line.
You got to get the vacuum to scare the dog. 100%.
But the one moment that they got right, or at least the bookers got right, and big shout out to Melissa Chusid, who's the booker on the 500 now. She got a Scott Stapp because Bert Kreischer was in a story that's been debated, and Jeff Tremonti, who played guitar in Creed, has said that this didn't happen. But Bert swears by this and told this story on Comedy Central.
And I would believe Bert over a Creed member, no offense. So it's, who knows?
There's a documentary by Porcelain. I don't know if you ever watched this guy's things. Mm-hmm. He's got two documentaries about Joe Matarese. There's one about Owen Benjamin. These documentaries are like Alex Gibney level, like Going Clear type shit. Mm-hmm. But it's, this guy makes them for like no money besides Patreon. And they're basically just calling out weird comics or other comics. And I love beef when I'm not in it.
So I love
drama. I just like to watch it from afar. Yep, I try not to get in. Somehow I get pulled into certain things, but for the most part, I'm not. And so what I'm saying is Jeff has gone on record by saying that he was never in a band with Bert, but Bert swears by him being in a band in Florida called Giving Out Spankins.
Oh, wow.
But Giving Out Spankins. It's a Bert band. I mean, it's what do you think it was going to be called? Like, it's like the Shirtless Bastards or some shit. So Bert gets the original other guitarist from the band to fly in, and we try to get Jeff, but Jeff was unavailable, so they got Scott Stapp. And let me tell you guys something. Wow. Scott, and he showed up with Bumblefoot, guitarist. Couldn't have been the nicest guy. He was so nice. Dude, I am telling you, it's like you couldn't hate him.
Yeah.
You couldn't. He was so sweet. And I don't know if it's the therapy and stuff that he did.
Sobriety's got to have helped him, because most of the stories about him being an asshole where he's hammered. Like the stories of him starting fights with people in bars. It's like he's clearly fucked up and hyper insecure. So it's like, I'm sure therapy and sobriety probably helped him a lot.
Sure. I mean, when you work on yourself, especially because you don't even know how to describe the level of guilt and shame that you feel to fail on a public stage where you become a joke. Creed, what is this? I do a bit like, you know, where I say somebody in the audience got fingered to Creed, because I talk about every song people have fucked to, and it gets a huge laugh, because it's Creed.
Yep.
But when you break it down to, like I said, just the music, no story of the band, they're a good band.
Yeah.
And I stick by them. And then let me tell you, dude, him and Bert sang Higher. I was crying backstage because it was the only moment that felt like my show.
Yeah.
Wow. And also it felt like my friend Angelo Bowers, who had passed away, who's the reason I do everything with music, because he told me, you need to do shit with music and comedy at the same time. Figure that out. And it felt like he was in the room. It was such a beautiful, magical performance. I still watch it every once in a while. I have a dope poster that's signed by both of them, of this shot by Matt Macisco, where they're both pointing up as they're singing. It's so fucking cool. And it just manifested into Twitter friends, or really Instagram friends, and we talk, and I'm gonna be in Nashville, man.
Yeah.
Sweet, I'll come see you. Mm-hmm. And he's come out. And he's the coolest, and he takes pictures with everybody. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, when you judge something just on the thing that everybody else is doing and don't get to know somebody, it's like, you know, it's a disservice to everybody, because he's a very, very sweet dude. The music's great. He's still got an incredible career as a solo artist. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably much happier now than he was when he was using during Creed. Cause that's, you can't enjoy that.
Right.
To be that fucked up. And you know, dude, it's happening right now with the guy from Smash Mouth.
Oh, is it? I'm behind on this.
You haven't seen this?
No. Have you seen this,
They
Tommy?
Just broke up, I saw, right?
He, oh, dude. Shit. Well, all right. So I'm not going to tell you who told me this.
Okay.
But about a year ago, a very famous friend of ours, who's a comic, somebody in his TV show that he's on hired Smash Mouth to come and sing a couple songs at his wedding. And it was a mess. They showed me the video. He was cussing. He was slurring his words. He was fucking up songs.
Oh, shit.
And they wanted him to get off. He didn't get off stage.
Oh, my God.
It was a whole thing.
Oh, my God.
And I laughed and laughed and laughed. What a dumb fuck for getting Smash Mouth for your wedding, you fucking idiot. That's on you.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? On the sun.
And so now it's public because he was at some festival or some show, and he had a complete meltdown. If you can Google it, there's video of it. This woman in the TikTok story, I think, called it the most awkward performance I've ever seen.
I got to see this. I can't believe we got to. Maybe we talk about that on the Patreon.
Yeah,
you should.
Sure.
Speaking of which, real fast, get on the Patreon, people. I don't know if you guys saw me bitching about this. We talked about it a little bit before the show. There's a Spotify show called Bandsplain that we, of course, stole this idea from.
It's weird because they started 3 years after than us, yes, but we did kind of steal it from
them. But we did predict that, and of course, even though no offense to them, but it is one of the most boring shows I've ever listened to. And I did listen to it, and I know that Spotify knows of our idea, so it is a bummer that it exists, and they're making so much more money than us.
Yeah, so they pay well, dude.
So get on that Patreon. And a lot of people might say, hey, maybe your show would be more successful if you didn't accuse your co-host of being a pedophile every episode.
Oh, God forbid.
God forbid. And if you talked about the band that's in the subject of the episode within the first 20 minutes of the show. A lot of people have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, if you like that corporate stuff, go for it. Yeah.
For sure.
Fuck those people.
And if you didn't have nicknames that mean nothing, maybe you have a little more success. Fuck all that. We need you to get on the Patreon because I can't do this anymore. If we're making so little to do this fucking shit.
I know. Imagine what mine was like. I went from making no money to suddenly Spotify's paying me a shitload to suddenly, like, in the middle of the pandemic, they're like, "Yeah, your numbers on our app aren't big enough." And I was like, "You should have told us it was about the numbers on Spotify. God. You never told us it. Mm. You were like, you kept saying we're gonna grow it, we're gonna grow, and then they cut it loose, and I had gotten a Porsche." Like a fucking idiot.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, what do I do? I mean, it's a pandemic. There's no touring. There's no jams.
Yeah.
You know?
This is what happened to me. I had a podcast with Comedy Central. I was like, I got 2 cat money. Then they take it away. What am I supposed to do with the cats? I had to put them outside.
Smart.
No, I would never. I would never. Couldn't do it. But, you know, they get to eat. I guess I won't. As Nickelback said, we'll all stay skinny because we just won't eat. Unless you guys get on that Patreon.
Get on the Patreon.
Get bonus eps.
How much is it a month?
It's $3 fucking dollars.
Dude.
It's $3 a month, people.
If you're listening, it's a free podcast.
If you enjoy this, and I'm not saying you should, you know, I'm mostly kidding. Obviously about the Bandsplain thing, which, by the way, I really think the name is good. Bandsplain. I think it's really good. And no, in all reality, I don't have hard feelings about them, but I am annoyed that, you know, we've been doing this fucking thing for like 5 years now, and it would be nice to make a little bit of money off of it instead of losing money to do it. So that would be sick.
That's probably because of my big fee.
That is true.
I do
have to pay Tommy $15,000 an episode, which is fair. He's the prince of snarkness.
True, yeah.
He's royalty, baby. All right, enough of that pledge drive shit. Let's get into live. Let's do it, huh?
The worst SEO band of all time.
Yes. Yeah.
SEO man.
Search engine optimization.
Oh, yes. Yes. I couldn't agree more.
Googling live band is tough too.
It is very tough, but no one ever thought.
Of course, it was a different time.
When the first record came out that this would ever be an issue. And somebody just told me the name of their band before.
Yes, we just found that.
What is it?
Public Affection.
Public Affection. The only name
there was
worse
a couple other
live.
Names.
live.
Too. Yeah,
it's really bad. Public affection, I do not.
I think that was their, like, there was another one too when they were in high school that I can't remember, that I can't pull, but they've had a few iterations. And the story we heard was they settled on live because they put a bunch of different names in a hat and just pulled live out.
Yeah.
And that's why they ended up going with it. But
not a horrible name.
Yeah.
No, I don't I don't hate live. I don't love it just because of exactly this searching for shit.
Yeah.
You search for, like, if we do research for the show usually, and we'll look up like Nickelback sucks or whatever and see what type of writing live sucks. It like autocorrects to life sucks. You just see a bunch of fucking suicide notes. It's you don't get anything good. So, or like which bands suck live. And it's like, that's not what I'm trying to see, you know, but you know, it's not a terrible name. It's, I don't love, I'm going to go see live. That's
it's
no
tough.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because, you know, there's bands where a simple name, like I love The Band, and I think The Band is a cool nickname for a band, is a cool name for a band, but that also sucks to search.
It's tough.
You know?
Very sucky,
Why are the, I forget, I think we've talked about this, why are they called The Band?
Because they were Bob Dylan's backing band. That's right. They would just call them like, that's The Band.
They get to be The Band.
They're The Band, yeah.
There's something very cool about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Live, not on the other hand, you know, not really that cool, very difficult.
Yes.
Better than Public Affection.
Definitely better than Public Affection, yes.
But there's, like, I think, like, how many of you guys, when they first came out, thought for a moment it was Live?
I'm sure somebody
in the Facebook said that, which we'll get to eventually.
Yes.
Because you don't, that's when you just see it on paper, how are you supposed to know?
That's the kind of analysis you get for that $3.
Yeah, that's what you'll get. On the Patreon, we'll give you a little bit more than
How'd you feel about that?
I do think we should go ahead and hear a song just so people have a little taste of what we're getting into. Like we always do, we gave Joshua the task of making us a playlist of live songs that
we feel
like you guys should hear. And I gotta be honest with you, I did not realize that I knew who Live was. Like, I knew, I had heard the name before, but I didn't know what their songs were because I just never looked them up. But I knew a few of them, and the first one that you sent me is a great song that I was like, oh, I hear this, and I think I always thought it was someone else. I think I thought that it was who's the Jeremy band?
Pearl Jam.
I thought it was Pearl Jam.
It's got a Pearl Jam vibe, yeah.
I thought this was Pearl Jam forever. So this song is Lightning Crashes, so I'm just going to hit the people with a little bit of it. What an opening. I'm gonna skip forward a little bit. All right, we gotta get to the pickup here. You guys know the song. You love it. What a fucking jam.
I love that song.
That is a great,
great song. For many reasons. First reason, it's the only song I know with the word placenta in it.
Yeah.
And out of all the organs and things in a woman, it just fits. You know what I mean? Like, her fallopian tubes are greasy, or whatever the proper things that fallopian tubes are. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a you know, like a buzzword that you don't expect to be. And this is a radio hit.
Yeah.
This I don't know if you have the facts or the stats on it, but I'm assuming this probably went to the top five in modern rock, 100%.
And the album got to number one at some point.
Throwing Copper.
But it took forever.
It took a year.
It took a year.
Throwing Copper is a... I wouldn't call it a perfect album because there's a couple songs on it that are they're skip overs that I'm just like, they're not bad songs, but you know, when you go through like the opening song and then into I Alone, into fucking Selling the Drama, which was the first one big hit off that record, which me and Big J Okerson called La Flerve, because we will sing it, we'll go into Flerve, La Flerve, into Flerve. The Flerve in La Flerve in Flerve and Flerve.
That is a great song.
Bow down bow, which we'll get to that one because I think I pulled it out. But this song, Lightning Crashes, was, of course, it's like, is it cheesy? Yes. Is it, but is it the way it builds throughout the whole song? After that, like the bridge where he's like doing all the shouting and screaming. I mean, it really rocks.
Yeah.
And then. Me and the band for the Element of P, the band for the goddamn comedy jam, excuse me, we started doing this to open the jam. We do this really funny thing where, because every jam, they announce me and the band starts playing like noise. And then I like run through the crowd and like stand on shit and climb things. I'm like, come on, motherfuckers. Yeah, yeah. Are you fuckers ready? And everybody's like, yeah, yeah. And then I get back on stage. I'm like, are you guys ready to fucking rock? And everybody's like, yeah. I'm like, are you ready to rock? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, here we go. 2, 3, 4.
That's great.
And it's like, and then the lights change, and it's like, it's just fun. And the people sing the chorus because everybody knows it. It's a great song. It's a great song from a great album. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, you guys seem to.
I love this. This one, I love. I think I love all three singles from Throwing Copper. The three big ones, I Alone, this, and the one we were just talking about,
The Flerve.
Yeah, yeah. I think those songs are all great. I never really listened to live outside of that album. I was listening to it again this morning. And I think they hold up. I think they're great songs. I love a song that builds like Lightning Crashes does.
Yeah.
The only song, I mean. I think the one disagreement we're going to have is you put that opener on the list, and I don't like that song.
Let's talk about this one. We'll play, that next, just so people have context.
That was the only one I wasn't into.
I do want to talk a little bit about this. So it is this song charted at number 12, I think, just like on all
on
Billboard.
On the top
American Billboard. Yeah, yeah. Very good stuff. It's, let's see, I wrote nothing. So they opened their Woodstock 94 set with this song. By the way, I believe they were somebody I think said that they were the only band that played at both Woodstock 94 and 99.
Oh, they were at 99?
That's what somebody posts on the thing. I didn't see them in the doc. But
they got snubbed. There weren't rapes going on probably, during live.
Probably,
I mean,
good to not get into that talk.
It's like, you want to just lay in the cut in there. You know what I mean? It's like you know, live isn't the band to sexually assault. But if you think about it, if titties were going to come out, it would be on live. They'd be like, oh my God.
There was placenta all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. I had a placenta.
Dude, I can't remember if we talked about this moment in the Woodstock 99 doc, but it was insane. Like, you see what a different fucking time it was. And like, when fucking Kid Rock goes, Monica Lewinsky is a whore.
I think he says ho.
He's a and hoe. Bill Clinton is a fucking pimp.
He's a pimp, which is so funny for him to say.
Call him the pimp, and it's like the way that history has now looked back on that is like clearly Bill Clinton is a bad guy.
And also how Kid Rock has changed too. He probably talks shit about Bill Clinton all the time
of course.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Dude, but Kid Rock is... has never changed. He is still the same guy, and that's why we don't see much from him anymore, because he's horrible probably as a human being.
He's just running for office now.
We gotta do, really?
He ran for office in Michigan. Yeah,
we gotta do another Kid Rock episode, because we talked about him pretty early in on the show, and it was a great episode, but I feel like there's enough on him that we could probably squeeze another episode.
Oh, God. You do a fucking 8-part series, dude. And by the way, I don't hate Kid Rock. I just think, you know, it's like, to all the people out there, it's like, don't fucking come at me like Kid Rock. Kid Rock rules. Right. I still like people that are still stuck in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I find it funny. But at the same time, it's like there was that time where you can't deny when he rocked Woodstock 99, mm-hmm. he fucking murdered it.
Yep.
He took his moment. That's the perfect example of here's your moment. Mm-hmm. Are you going to capitalize on it? And he fucking did. He came out and crushed that performance.
Yeah.
And the music's butt cheeks, but at the same time, it's like, it's good. Yeah. It's good for 1999.
It's still fun. Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bawa Da Ball rules.
It's fun stuff. It's fun stuff. This is a weird story. In 2019, Live lent their name to a craft beer called Throwing Copper Ale, which is described as a union of the caramel toffee-like sweetness of English barley and the bitterness of noble hops. What a weird time to name your beer after that. We've gone too far with craft beer. We're doing that shit.
You had this Alice in Chains IPA yet, brother? Tastes like a rooster.
All right, let's hear the song that that you were not happy about, Tommy. And,
I wouldn't say I was not happy about
it. I would say you weren't happy about this. And that
I was surprised it made your list because I don't like this one.
This is the Damn It Otter Creek, correct? Yes. All right, let's hear some of the Damn It Otter Creek.
So, I'll be fair. I just really don't like the beginning.
Okay.
I don't love the lick. I don't love the melody. I just don't like the way it sounds. But I don't hate the rocking part.
There's something about the way he's singing in this one that I don't love, too.
You know what it sounds like when you really break it down? It sounds like Trey Parker making fun
That's
of
exactly
song.
What it sounds like. It That's really exactly does. What I was thinking is it sounds like South Park
Very.
Doing like a band. It's
from the 90s. Yeah,
yeah, it's like 90s.
But here's the thing about that. Now, imagine you're at I don't know what your cool venue in your town is, but like say I'm at the 930 Club, which is this very small rock club. The big bands would always come around and play. Now, I never saw this, but I'm just imagining what this would be like. The lights mm-hmm. change because you now know the band's about to come out. And mm-hmm. this is a great opener because it builds.
Right.
And it's like you might not like that lick. I for some reason, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, yeah.
But what I really like about it is I like that it starts here, and it's just the same thing over and over. The lyrics, I don't know what he's talking about, but I assume it's something political or something, you know, pro-feminism or whatever the fuck they were really into at the time. And it builds and builds and builds, and you didn't play the part, but it kicks in at one point, and then the key changes a little bit, and it's just, I fucking dig it. And if I saw that live, if I saw live,
yes,
and they open with that, and I never heard him before, I'd go out and buy the CD immediately.
I did
that when Local H came out, and they opened with High Five and Motherfucker. And I remember they opened for Stone Temple Pilots, and I only knew that one song.
Copacetic. That was just a great song. I love Copacetic.
But dude, they're a great band.
Chicago band. I'm a Chicago guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, what I love about, but I love when a band just takes me somewhere, and I wasn't expecting from Selling the Drama, which is the song that I heard first, mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that on the record. There's real rock moments on it. There's real, I wouldn't call it heavy metal. I would call it maybe like alt grunge. And that is kind of what that song is. I get it. I get your opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're wrong.
No, I get what you're saying. I love when a song has that moment where everything kicks in. I always get a kick out of that. So I get what you're saying, too. Yeah.
You didn't dig the kick in?
No, I like it. I really just don't like the beginning.
It also
honestly.
Takes a while. I mean, I was trying to find it for you, but it takes quite a while to get to that damn kick in. But maybe they earn it. It's up for debate. But no, I think it does. The ending does sound awesome. They're rocking out. They're having a good time.
Having a good time, man. I love songs that are like three or four chords. Because basically that is just a modal jazz song that just builds and builds and builds. I think, you know, there's a band that's made a whole career on that and won the Mercury Music Prize, which is Alt J. Their song is never, they never change. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they get quieter again. Mm-hmm. It's how they, and it's like, but I like it. And I mean, Radiohead kind of does that where it's like, I mean, Let Down just grows and grows and grows. I mean, Paranoid Android, not so much, but it does, it's because it does have different movements. It's almost like a symphony, but it's like to open the album, which I should say right now, and I was saving this. Ooh. When I did on my podcast, we did, was it Modern Lovers? It was Talking Heads.
Hell yeah.
Did Talking Heads, more songs about.
Buildings and
food or whatever it was.
Buildings.
The guest was the guitarist Jerry Harrison.
Yes.
Who
produced this record. And I talked to him for about a half hour on the podcast about this record. Because I was like, I like the Talking Heads, but just that I had him, I was like, dude, we gotta talk about it. And he said this, out of all the records that he's produced, he's most proud of this one.
Really? Wow. That's amazing.
He's like, I love the sound of it. I think we got clean drums. I think the guitars sound great. I think his voice sounds great.
Yeah.
The songs, you know, are great. He doesn't think there's any misses on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. And I agree with him. That's I think this is a great record, man. And I think this is a great way to open it. Like, what other song would open this record? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe just open with I Alone. Just kicking off with a big rocker.
This is a banger.
I know. I know.
The whole ending is
banging. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I Alone, you gotta save. You can't come too quick, dude.
Hey, speak for yourself.
But no, that's so cool. That was when we were doing a little research before, and I found out Jerry Harrison produced it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I love
talking. This is a big talking.
I think I watched Stop Making Sense 50 times this year. So
really.
It's like
I've watched it with you at least 3 times.
It's,
I think,
like anytime at the end of the night when I come home and I'm like, I don't know, I'll just put on Stop Making Sense. It's like my favorite.
So you love Stop Making Sense?
I love Stop Making Sense.
Do you want to do that album's on my podcast this week? Do you want to do it?
I mean, Tommy would be better equipped than me, but I mean, I would be down to, I love it, so I'm down for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's
Fuck
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know what? We can have both of you guys
Let's
on.
Fucking both do it.
We do it via Zoom anyway.
That's
so
great.
Would you guys want to do it?
Let's That'd fucking do it. Yeah.
It would be like a crossover episode.
I love it.
I love that.
That sounds great.
Dude, all right, I'm going to text my fucking booker. Fuck
let's
yeah,
go.
Dude.
Let's
so start go. Listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Start listening to it, and we'll talk Talking Heads.
Hell yeah. I love when we do booking on the show.
Fuck yeah. Dude, now everybody's like, oh, I'm losing the 500.
This is how it happens.
This is actually perfect, because we had Sam Morrell. I don't know if you knew, he was a big Talking Heads fan.
I did not know that. That's crazy. We had him on to talk about, who we had
Leonard
on?
Cohen.
Leonard Cohen. I did not know he was a big Talking Heads guy.
But he bounced. He dropped it.
Shit.
He said,
he ain't shit.
He said he was sick or something.
Yeah. He's always sick.
Does he? He looks like he does look like a guy that has like hay fever allergies.
Love Sam to death. What a good man. Let's before we get too far into this. Oh, also, we have, should we play the thing that you found of the, because it's over the song we've already listened to over Lightning
Crashes. One thing we found out in our research was when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, this radio DJ for some reason made a mix of, he just picked, the song Lightning Crashes was huge at the time, and he decided to like overdub stuff about the news from the bombing into the song Lightning Crashes and play it as like a radio single, and that became huge, which I think is just something that would never happen today. So I thought it was very funny to listen
very
to.
Very weird. Do you have it, or is it in the thing?
Hey, you gotta find this.
Yeah, I do have it pulled up. So yeah, we should play a little bit of it. Let's just because it's very weird.
It's
to
very
to.
Weird. It's bizarre. Yeah. But it's still fucking jams.
And you got Walter Brokaw at the beginning. Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, here we go.
An explosion has rocked a federal office building in downtown Oklahoma City.
The explosion in Oklahoma's capital city came without warning around 9 central time.
The federal building in Oklahoma City blew up a short time ago.
A wide area with a ferocious blast that left a 20-foot crater.
The chaos in downtown Oklahoma City did indeed resemble Beirut after what police believe to be a 1,200-pound car bomb ripped through the 9-story federal
building. Sending an untold number to their death.
It's hard to fathom that something like this could happen down here in the heartland of America.
Lightning.
Imagine that's the version you listen to all the time.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's God. What you got to play at the jam.
Fuck, dude.
I was going to do a thing where I don't have two phones to do it with, but I was going to do a thing where I played Tommy's stand-up album, but with 9/11 footage
dude,
over it.
So one of my favorite things that me and my buddy Angelo Bowers used to do, we were like newer comics, was we used to, because you know, there's always those comics that post clips way too early.
Yeah.
Like you're like 2 months into stand up and you're already posting YouTube clips of your stand up.
I did it. I deleted them all.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God. So what we used to do is we pull up a YouTube page and find one of those clips. And then we'd open up another YouTube page and we'd get like Adagio from Strings from Platoon or like the Schindler's List soundtrack. And we'd hit play on one and we'd hit play on the other. And then we just watch the comedy. God. And
that's
it's just like,
so funny.
It's just, it is,
that
like,
is that's so funny.
He's just playing like really sad music over these. I mean, and we were both terrible too, but at the same time, we're not putting out a clip that's got 5 views for our Aunt Shirley in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that is
York,
so funny.
Pennsylvania.
I want to do that
live
to myself. Oh, shit.
Shittown.
Shittown. S-Town. All right. Another podcast that stole our idea. let's go ahead and hear I Alone before we get to our next segment. We kind of got to cruise through some of this because we are already deep into this bitch. All right, let's hear I Alone. It's easier not to be what you measure these things by your brain. I sank into Eden with you. Alone in the church by and by. I'll read to you here, save your eyes. You'll need them, your boat is at sea. Your anchor is out, you've been swept away. And the greatest of teachers won't hesitate.
This is bringing back so many memories. And I could have put All Over You also in there too, because that's one of the big hits off it. I remember the dude that really got me into this band, because I was at the time listening to like STP, Alice in Chains, Nirvana, Pantera, Sepultura. Like those are I was in a band at the time when this kind of popped. My sister was into plays and was like a thespian in high school. And there was this group of like, I was in 10th grade and there was this older group of thespians, Andrew Bachman, John Robertson. And they hung out with these like hot thespian girls. And Ben Allen, who was in my band, his brother Chad was like the backstage dude that worked on all the plays because he wasn't much of an actor. He was an actor, but I think he also did a lot of the design and shit. And me, Ben, and we'd hang out with Chad, his brother, and John Robertson, and we would go to this laser tag thing because they were older and they had a car, and they knew girls. And I remember riding in the back of his pickup truck, John Robertson's, and like him blasting like this song, All Over You. He was also in like Honors Chambers, which I was in, which is like the singers of like Allstate and shit like that. Mm-hmm. He didn't reach Allstate. I did. But I thought they were cool. Mm-hmm. Funny story about when that came to an end, of when I didn't realize they weren't cool, John goes, "Hey man, I'm having a party at my house on Saturday night. You should come over. Everybody's going to be there." I was like, "Oh, really?" I was like, "Cool, man. I'll be there." So I'm like, "Fuck it, dude. I'm stealing a bottle of my mom's rum." And I took some rum and I put it in a backpack and I walked the 2 miles to John Robertson's house. It's like 9 o'clock. I knock on the door and his mom answers. And I'm like, "Hi, Mrs. Robinson." And she's like, "Hey, the boys are all downstairs.
Oh,
go ahead."
Boys.
I go downstairs. They're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, no. You can't say party.
It gets worse, dude. It gets worse.
Yeah.
So then I hang out there and I'm like, "Okay, I'll be a festering org for the next 2 hours. I can do this." And I'm rolling the 9-12-sided die, whatever the fuck it is. And then they're like, "All right, dude, you ready to go kick this into high gear?" And I'm like, I'm like, anything, like, whatever, dude. I'm down, man. I got the rum. And they're like, all right, we're going out to a field party. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is where the party's going to be. Mm-hmm. We drive out to the field party, and their other buddy has got a pickup truck with the hatch closed. And he's like, you guys ready? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I am. I was like, the keg must be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
He pops the thing. They pull out styrofoam, like, battle axes, and then they LARP. They LARP. They LARP.
That's brutal. You can't just invite somebody to that without telling them what it's going to be. That's fucked up.
Fucked up, dude. So I just drank in the field by myself. I was like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting tanked over here before I get into battle.
They were probably like in the middle of like fake sword fighting. They're like, what's up with that fucking weird guy over there?
Just drinking alone, listening to live.
I will admit, the high school version of me probably would have been like, now this is fucking awesome.
There's a weird thing about live that I always thought, I don't know who told me this or where I thought, but my whole life I thought they were one of the bands that was secretly a Christian band.
I thought that too, but maybe it was like live and like plus 44 for some reason. I put together. Yeah. They tour together.
Switchfoot was actually
Switchfoot's Christian.
Yes. I thought live was like that.
I thought that too, and I don't know why.
More. I would think Buddhist or Hare Krishna, because don't forget. And this is why I think people would think that he's a douche. I don't know the lead singer's name. It's like John Krasinski or some shit. Like Ted Kaczynski. Is it Ted Kaczynski? Ted Kaczynski. He was a Unabomber. No, Ed Kowalczyk?
Ed Kowalczyk.
He shaved his head and left a long braided ponytail because I think he was losing his hair. Because you can see it because in the video for Pain Lies by the Riverside, he's got the hat on with it backwards and you can kind of see like a receding hairline a little bit. And he's got his shirt off and he's dancing all weird, very like midnight oily, kind of like squiggly. The song rules. It rules once again, same chords, modal jazz, but it's just builds and builds and builds in that last outro that where they have the, where he's going, and I alone tempt you. I mean, it's a great outro. It's a great song that just like the Woodstock documentary took me back.
Yeah.
To 1995, 96. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a time capsule. So I think this is a time capsule album that holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing Copper, man. Don't Copper.
It's a great album.
Oh, here we go. So real fast, I just found under Not Christian Rock is the band Live who said apparently they get thought of, though, that way because in I Alone, it's about the Christian church. And I mean, it says the lyrics are telling a story of the lyrics are a telling of the story in the Bible, Luke 8:22-25, in which Jesus calms a storm while he and his disciples are at sea. The song, like the story, proves the power of love. I mean, that's a bit of a...
I thought Huey Lewis proved that.
Yeah.
I hate to speed through here, but we got to get to another segment we have, and then we'll hear more of the songs.
Are you going
to
mention Lakini?
Yeah, we'll play Lakini. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But we have just before we get too deep into the playlist, because we'll skim through some of the rest of the songs.
Okay, cool.
But we have a segment to get to, which is where we hear from our resident snob, friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where we will be we will be in November 5th and 6th, I believe. Check that out. We're doing a live Stand By Your Band Battle of the Bands. It's going to be very fun. Jared's going to be the guest judge. And he sent in his thoughts on the band Live. I'm really curious to hear what he's going to say. I have a feeling it's going to be positive, but I don't know. I could be crazy. Sometimes he surprises me. All right, here is Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's This Week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Live. So this band was popular sort of at my height of snootiness in music. And so I have a really bad memory of this band, and they were very confusing. I just remember, so my thoughts on it, and I just listened to a couple songs to sort of refresh my memory, and it's the same, where they're just maybe the most melodramatic band in history. It's just like, they were just these like regular, like, they looked like they would just like work at the grocery store, like white dudes who were like, it was almost like corporate emo. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, there's no way that they had any idea what emo was. And like, what I mean by that is there's no way they had ever listened to like Rites of Spring or any of the like early emo bands, but that's almost like the vibe that they had, but their production was like the same as Shania Twain or something. Like, so it was just this odd mix of like, just, and I think they had like rat tails, like, or they just had like haircuts that like, they just had like a ponytail in the back. There was like no other hair on their head. I don't know. But I just remember the videos just being like, why are they so like, you know, into, it was like Christian rock, but like not Christian. I don't know. Just very like, there's like crying. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I'm sure that like they're probably better than like Candlebox or like other bands from that same time frame, but it's a pass for me, dog. All right, thanks.
What the hell, Jared?
Jared.
It's a pass for me,
he
dog.
He went straight Randy went fucking Randy. Jackson, yep. You dip. All right, I'll take some of the points that he made. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, they are guys that probably worked at a Safeway or like a fucking Giant Food, because they're a bar band from York, Pennsylvania. Mm. I'm sorry they're not wearing, you know, lizard-made pants and fucking, you know, like vests with their chest hairs out. Not every band has to look like fucking, you know, Frampton Comes Alive or some shit in a velour jumpsuit. Some people are just from small fucking towns that you know, that make it. Mm-hmm. And they from what my understanding, because Brian Posehn was just on the podcast and we mentioned them, they were just a bar band, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of built their way up and just killed the bar scene. Saw them live at a bar you're getting tanked at.
Yeah.
You know, by the time they hit fucking, you know, Lightning Crashes, you'd be like, fuck yeah, these guys are great. Yeah. I really, what's their name? Public Affection. Nah, y'all gotta change that. Do something that's hard to Google. You know what I mean? There's something, but you know, is it corporate? I don't know. That's like saying is Styx in REO Speedwagon bad? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're like the REO Speedwagon of the alt grunge scene.
Sure.
So is it corporate rock? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody get behind the big machine and say, hey, we want to fucking, we can blow you up. But, you know, the rat tails are maybe him saying fuck you to all of that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of their songs, I think, dude, I bet if you look it up, I'd love for you to look up and find out what they did. Like, because I know there was like shit behind them. They had a message. It wasn't like they were like, we'll just do whatever you say, you know, Dark Lord, Arista Records. Like, yeah. they wanted to make their music. And I think they look, not every band gets one great album. They got one great album.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and then some of the other tracks that I put on there as well, it's like there's some dope shit. So corporate, I don't think so.
Well, they were, yeah, really into philosophy. And the thing we were listening to, he like found this philosopher in India that he was really interested in. And he kind of based a lot of the stuff from Throwing Copper off that. So it was definitely more interesting than just like formulaic, you know. What,
exactly.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Jared. Well, I mean, Jared's like credit, he conceded that this was his snootiest time. And I wasn't sure which side of the coin he was going to fall on with this one. And now we know. all right, we kind of got to wrap up in the next like 10. So let's hear Lakini's Juice.
Yes, this. So can I give a little preface behind this before we dive into it? So fuck, man, it was maybe like 2004, 2003. I don't know when this came out. Can you find out when this song came out?
Yeah, for sure. I was just looking at that. Actually,
I want to say it's the album right after Throwing Copper. Which I wasn't really into.
I remember hating the name of this album.
Like Secret Samurai, or
let me see here. Song Fix. God damn it. This is off. Yeah. Oh wait, no, this isn't the one that it was. The album that I hated. This is Secret Samadai or somewhere. Samadhi. I don't know. It's a goofy looking.
It's
1997.
All right, so 1997. So in about 2002, 2003, I'd say more like 2003 or 2004, I'm at my buddy Shane's house because I was living on his couch while I was finishing college. And I remember this came on the radio as I left. And I was like, what the fuck, man? This song rules. And it has been a song that stays in my rotation ever since then. I don't listen to it a lot. But it's like, if I ever get into a live kick, because I listened to this album not too long ago, which is the reason I brought it in. But this song, play it. Just play the greatness, dude. Let it shine.
All right, here's Lakini's Juice.
That is a great song. I never heard it before you put it on the playlist. Really? I really liked it. Yeah. Yep.
Man, that whole like build up that afraid to let me. It's so fucking good. So good. All the cheesiness, all the rat tails. Out the window. Could care less.
Yep.
Song rules. Very song good. Fucking rules, man. Cool and you know, God bless. Yeah, God bless them.
Cool ass song. Let's say how many have we listened to? So we've heard the Damn It Otter Creek. We've heard Lakini's Juice. We've heard Lightning Crashes. And we heard I Alone. So let's hear two more real fast. Because you gave me seven here, but let's hear six of them. I've got Pain Lies on the Riverside. You want to hear that one next?
Yeah, because that's off their first record, and that's this a good song. Yeah, because we could have played Dolphins Cry, which is like one of the hits in their top five, and we could have played All Over You.
Right.
We could have played Selling the Drama, which we mentioned, which we don't need to play, because LaFleur, I sang it perfectly.
Yes, people got
But now let's get to their earlier stuff. We played some of the later stuff. We played the big album. Now let's get to the album before. Bar right. Band Live.
Here is Pain Lies on the Riverside.
We'll be right back.
Love that bass sound on this one.
Yeah, man. The bass riff is great. You know, he's a big fan of going like, yeah, yodels. That's pretty rocking. You know, it's this is their older stuff. And this is, once again, imagine you're at a fucking bar. Because you know this was probably one of their first like hits that they wrote that people were like, dude, play that fucking Pain in the Riverside song. You know, they probably had those shitty Pennsylvania accents. Like, hey, live, hey, play that Pain Down by the Riverside song. Play that Pain Down There by the Riverside. Okay? Okay, I really like that song. Play that Pain by the Riverside.
Really fast. The name of this album is Mental Jewelry.
Fuck yeah, dude. Really, you know what that means? Who knows?
You know what that means.
You know. Although I was looking for anything on this song, and I found a comment on it that's on the YouTube video of it that this guy writes, it's funny because I'm a fan of death metal, doom metal, etc., but these guys will always be one of my favorites. And the guy responded, yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh my God.
I was grateful that it's like, yeah, I don't think that's that funny.
I think that's a good it's a good thing to tell your girlfriend if you didn't get her a Christmas present. Just be like, babe, I got you some mental jewelry.
Yeah. Just think about
think
it.
Think about the ring I got you.
We're walking through Tiffany's. You're picking out wherever you want. Just think about that. Just think the smell of the diamonds.
All right. Well, let's hear the last song on this this playlist, which is White Discussion.
Nice.
Stand by your band.
Yeah. Hey, halfway. I guess quarter white. All right. Here's White, Discussion. Explain in a second.
Is it erect?
No. No. Although, don't get me wrong, that is funny. Picturing this guy erect. Yeah, right.
His pubes are just a rat tail. His rat tail pubes are dead center, braided.
I was laughing at something related to our next segment. So before we wrap the show up, we like to go to our listeners and see what they have to say about the band that we are talking about, the Peanut Gallery. And first off, we go to the Patreon, and after that, we go to the Twitter, where I noticed my co-host Tommy just tweeted asking if anybody had
we got three replies in
that
a
is
minute.
Kind of insane.
I forgot to do it earlier, but
that was what was making me laugh. But before we go to the Twitter, we go to the Patreon. So that, of course, was White Discussion, which is about political correctness and all that good stuff.
Dude, only people listen to that now, man.
That's the first comment on this is from, so like in the song facts of this song, it's like, this is very controversial even today in the heated political climate of 2021.
It's like, what if like Chappelle gets up on stage and he's like, I'm going to explain myself, but I feel like Ed Kwasinski did it better. Look at all this town didn't get us, baby.
Hey, he's saying creep. He can do, he'll do some 90s songs.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's go to this Patreon. First off, we have John Bilancini, who says, I loved Throwing Copper. It came out when I was in eighth grade, so I was the right age for that sort of theatrical, dramatic feel. Damn it, Otter Creek was my favorite song.
Oh,
I went to college with somebody from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and they were like gods there. All right, John. Brendan Townend says a lot here. He says, this was easily my favorite band in middle and high school. The lead singer, Ed, got married near where I grew up, and a classmate's dad got me his autograph. Looking back, I'm not certain why Live stuck out to me. Secret Samadhi is probably their most overlooked album, but totally satisfying from start to finish. The Distance to Here is great, too, but once you get into V territory, it all seems to start to unravel to me. Lightning Crashes was my first ever slow dance, which is now super odd now that I think about it. Watch the music video for I Alone. It's super hilarious. Not sure if it's because they had a low budget or that the director just told Ed to grab your head and shift back and forth a lot. Thanks for covering this. It's my making my workday 100% better. Just looking forward to hearing this ep. All right, Brandon. Toby Braithwaite says, feels like a band name that would cause needless confusion. Some great tracks, though. I still have a real soft spot for I Alone and The Dolphins Cry. Matthew Potter says, never heard of them, but seem like the classic impossible to Google band. You are right, Matthew. Bleach says, song Simple Creed, right at the 1 minute mark, crying, laughing face. I kind of want to try that. Simple Creed right at the 1 minute mark. All right, I'm gonna look. Do you know what he's talking about here, Josh?
What was it again? I missed
he said listen to the song Simple Creed right at the 1 minute mark. So I don't I'm gonna try it. And he said he like put a crying laugh in there.
That was terrible. That was, is that like off their new shit?
That is actually.
Did he say eat you up by your body scruff? Is
that what
he
said? Eat you up by your body scruff, body please, scruff. Baby. Come on, get it downtown.
All right, Tommy, what do we got on the Twitter?
Okay, so you posted this 5 minutes ago. We got 6 comments in 5 minutes, which is pretty impressive.
Gotta be a record. Nice.
People want to talk crazy. About this band.
That's crazy.
Johnny Metz said, "What's with the Dolphins?"
Crying.
They're crying. That's what them. Jay Deltoid said, live, more like dead. Ha ha ha. No, but seriously, they kind of tried to be a Pearl Jam version of U2, and it mostly sucked.
Nice comparison, though. I don't hate that comparison. They're like a Pearl Jam version of U2.
Well, yeah. They talk about how they like feel like they are U2.
They wanted to be when they were in high school and they were starting a band. That was like their dream was to be U2. They like really were modeled themselves after them.
Okay.
Bazooka Tooth said they have two guys named Chad, and the Secret Samadhi album was a little creepy. And then Mike Tucker said Throwing Copper is one of the greatest alternative rock records of all time.
I look, you know, when you have the producer who was in Modern Lovers,
yeah,
who was in Talking Heads, which this guy's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm so proud of this record.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's really out of everything I've done. Yeah. This is the thing
that's
I'm incredible. The most proud of.
That's
like,
really cool.
He's right. It sounds great. Yep. He captured a band. It's a moment in time. There's some real hits on there. Because if you go on to Dark Lord Spotify's hits of the 90s or alt whatever, I think there's two of their songs in there.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning Crashes and I Alone.
Yeah,
that's dude. They like most people never do. Whoever said the guy was like, you know, fucking they suck or whatever. When I was a Patreon dude. You know the fuck I was talking about? Not Jerry. He's fine because I appreciate his snootiness. Some people, he's like a Joe DeRosa. He's always going to go, he's going to be a contrarian and argue whatever's against it. Some people just do that. But at the same time, what have they done? I wish that I do something that's remembered for in the history of a genre or in the history of a thing. And they did two things.
Yeah.
That's really badass.
That is awesome. All right, we have a bunch on the Facebook. If that was all the Twitter, and I can't get to all of them because we do got to wrap up. So get on the Patreon, so it's guaranteed that your comment gets read. Jason P. Leonard says, seen them several times. Their bass player is one of the most underrated bassists out there. Shit Town is a fave, but Pillar of Davidson is a song that I hope is playing as I'm dying. All right. Somebody, Lynn Bixon's band pointed out her placenta falls to the floor, and a lot of people wanted that to be noted. Paige Stegemeyer says, love them. They're like REM for people that like Mountain Dew. And, Joshua Sorrell, tagged that with who like Mountain Dew and Jesus, which is a
common misconception. Yeah.
Mark Bookwalter says, I thought Tool was live for a very long time. Even after learning I was wrong, I would intentionally conflate them, because telling a Tool fan that Lightning Crash is your favorite Tool song and watching their insane reaction is so
hilarious. Oh, they would probably lose their shit. Tool fans are serious, bro.
Yeah.
They take that band way too serious.
Math rock.
Alex Price pointed out that they're the only band that played Woodstock 94 and 99. Let me see. Lindsay Martin says, my friend was at a wedding once where the couple's first dance was to Lightning Crashes. Hey, that adds up with the slow dance thing. That's very strange. All right. There's so many here. Jeremy Levenbach says, I honestly love the song All Over You, but there's a part near the end where he gets really carried away and starts going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's the epitome of cringe. Nate Fritzen says, Lightning Crash is my go-to karaoke song.
Oh, wow.
I think Throwing Copper is okay, and all their albums since have had at least a decent song or two. Dolphins Cry would be better with different lyrics / song title. Tim Convey says, the only band I've ever seen that I actually liked less after seeing them live. Damn.
Did you ever see them?
No, I never did. It's a band I did. They did a tour. Cause that's something I've been trying to do, is any band like that I've always wanted to see. Cause Neil Diamond is one of my favorite artists of all time. I just love his music. Uh-huh. It's so cheesy. It's great. And I always was like, I'll go see him next time. And now he's never going to tour again
because
he has Parkinson's, and it's like, it breaks my heart. So anybody, I just go, and I go by myself, because I'm just like, I just want to go. I don't give a fuck if anyone wants. I'm not going to try to gather troops. I fucking, sporting events and concerts, I go by myself.
Concert by yourself is an amazing thing. I love doing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw Slayer by myself. I wandered around and just looked at people, and it was like, this is the shit.
I'm going to Mannequin Pussy by myself. On the 28th.
Shit.
I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Nice.
And then I'm going with people on the 30th. It's going to be a great time. All right, that that brings us to the end of this the show. We got one final thing to do, which is to rate this playlist out of 6, because we have 6 songs. We like to give it a rating out of 6, and I think you did a great fucking job here, Josh. You know what you're doing, and like I said, I did not realize that I was getting this band mixed up with a lot of things. I think Tommy got in my head about the dam at Otter Creek. Everything else I really liked. And I didn't hate the dam at Otter Creek. I'm gonna go high on this one, I think. I'm going to go with a solid 5. A 5 nice. Out of 6. I really enjoyed the music. I mean, Lightning Crash is just such a fucking fun song to listen to, and I'm going to listen to it again after the show. I'm excited. But yeah, 5 out of 6. Tommy, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. I really liked listening to Throwing Copper today. And then I also, as I pointed out, that song Lakini's Juice I'd never heard before, and I thought that song was great. So I'm gonna go high. I'm gonna go 4.75 out of 6. I had a lot of fun time.
You do points. I didn't realize you did points.
Yeah, we do a lot of
fractions.
We do some fractions. Yeah. But yeah.
And Josh, you get to rate the playlist as well.
I think because if I would have known we were gonna rate it, and I would have known that it was gonna be kind of like all encompassing. I think I would have maybe chose a couple other songs off of that weren't on Throwing Copper, but I think you have to put the majority of Throwing Copper, because that is their white album. That's their that's their OK Computer. So I would give this, because maybe I should have put Dolphins Cry and removed either White Discussion or Damn It Otter's Creek, just so we could get one of their hits in there. So I'll give it a 5 out of 6.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You heard it here, people. And Josh, this was so fun, man.
This was great.
This is a great time. Check out the 500, and yeah, I mean, you'll probably hear us pretty soon.
Yes,
it sounds like
this week we have to record it. It comes out on Wednesday.
Oh shit! All right, I'll bring. Maybe I can bring some of the equipment with me to
Cincinnati. Cincinnati, we'll be there
because I'll be all over the damn place. And what else can people check out? If you see goddamn Comedy Jam coming. Nearby it, you gotta see it.
We're doing the jam at the Comedy Store in the main room. And we're doing it now at the Village Underground at the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
And you can stream both of them once a month. We're gonna pick which one. We're gonna be doing it on mintcomedy.com. The 500. I'm on tour, joshadammeyers.com for all tour dates, and then at Josh Adam Myers on all social media. Follow me. I'm close to 20,000. I don't know why that's important.
Let's get him there.
But I just want to fucking get to a respectable 20. And you know, and then I'm only, you know, 980,000 away from Brendan Schaub. I'm chasing Schaub, dude.
I think you're gonna get him. Check out, check all that out. And by the way, watch stuff on Mint, man. If you can't go to a show live, go on Mint. They look incredible.
Yeah.
They look like fucking actual specials. It's multi-camera. It's really cool. And I think they film every Sunday different shows.
Mondays at the Cellar.
What's cool for me
and the jam doing it is we get to do the goddamn Comedy Jam the way that the TV show should have been.
Hell yeah.
It really, because it's got me in it. They didn't cut me out, which is great.
So
listen to Tom and do the Mint stuff. Support live comedy too, man.
Yeah.
Please do, and do that by coming to see me and Tommy in Cincinnati this very weekend. Go bananas, and then I will be at the Mint. Very confusing.
Not related.
In LA, filming my special. That's on the 26th. And if you want to go to my Instagram, go to the link in my bio, and use promo code Tom. Besides that, get on that Patreon. We'd appreciate it. Oh, Tommy's headlining, by the way, Cincinnati Sunday.
Yeah, so don't come to the Friday or
don't
Saturday.
Bother.
That's bullshit.
Who fucking cares? Anything else you got there, Tommy?
Yeah, check out Bandsplain on Spotify.
Yeah, please. They need the help.
Wow, dude.
They need the help. All right. Bye. Keep it crispy. Bye.